producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Tonight, Columbus Day. Did you celebrate? Did you even realize it was Columbus Day? Maybe when you went to check the mail and you realized there wasn't any mail, even the junk variety, because it's a holiday still. Not a holiday everywhere, though. Not the kind of holiday that it used to be. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, here on America Tonight. We look at a different possibility as far as Columbus is concerned. I thought it would be fun. A great conversation with Gary Knight, who talks about founding brothers, meaning two Italian brothers, the Pinzone brothers, who actually should get the credit, he says, for discovering the New World. That Columbus was, yes, the navigator, but they really the plow horses that made it happen. And if they weren't involved in trying to discover the New World, most likely it wouldn't have happened because there weren't enough people to back Christopher Columbus up, thinking that he didn't have the right stuff to make it happen. These true captains who had had many voyages were able to get the best seamen possible behind them to get behind the trip. So there's all kinds of theories about Christopher Columbus, but this one is really, really interesting. And it's one that a lot of people in Spain buy into and a couple of other places. And it's the Pinzone brothers who actually had a big hand in what happened with Christopher Columbus. It is interesting because I can remember, and I said this to Gary Knight, I can remember as a kid, and maybe some of you can, Christopher Columbus, it was still a big deal. I mean, hey, history class, you memorized what went on with Columbus, and we had the holiday, and before the holiday, we would talk about it in our classes. And now it's kind of different. Some schools not even kind of brushing over the whole Christopher Columbus thing. But, of course, that has to do with another possibility, another problem with Christopher Columbus, that he now has this image as the plunderer and the killer of natives in all the places that he stopped. So it has been interesting to see how many states are getting rid of the whole Christopher Columbus thing. And then there's the big argument. There's a lot of people that are very offended by the fact that Christopher Columbus is all of a sudden getting jilted. I put a thing on my Facebook today saying, is he an explorer or is he a plunderer? And Christopher Columbus, is he the hero he was painted out to be in the past? Or how should history really look at him? So this conversation with Gary Knight is a whole lot of fun. And that's coming up in a couple of segments here on America Tonight as we usher out another Columbus Day for what it's worth. Also on the show, boy, you do not want to miss this in our second hour, a conversation with a couple of doctors who have plenty to say about Ebola. One is Dr. Merrill Nass, heavily involved with what happened with anthrax, and has plenty to say about four containment labs in the U.S. and the fact that 21 days isn't necessarily enough for an incubation period. Plus, a conversation with Dr. Stone, who was in Liberia, who is just back from Liberia, who interviewed many of the now 100 people who have survived. She interviewed some of those people about how they made it through Ebola and how it's being handled in that country. And a very chilling thing that she told me, when you think of the spread of Ebola, how is it, why in Guinea's have they dealt with it so well versus Liberia? And she said one of the problems is because of the stigmatism. You have people hiding people who are sick. You have other people who are circumventing checkpoints and curfews and who are doing exactly what I feared Thomas Duncan was doing, and it's running. I mean, I said this on the show. Imagine if you get Ebola and you're seeing people die all around you and there isn't any medicine to speak of and there's not a lot they can do for you. And it's kind of one of those things where, okay, so 70% of the people in Africa who get it, if you look at the odds, are dying. And this would make you want to try to flee to another place. And this is part of the problem and why it is spreading. If more people, Dr. Stone says, if more of the people in Africa where she just left in Liberia came forward when they started to feel the symptoms, they might have a better chance of survival. But unfortunately, that's some of what is not happening. And all of that coming up in our second hour on America Tonight. If that's not enough, in our third hour conversation with Andrew O'Brien, his mother was nicknamed the Black Widow, just sentenced to 60 years to life for killing her husband, Andrew's stepfather. She asked her son, both of her sons, to help her frame an ex-wife for the murder instead of their mother. The mother asked them that. And he has a wild tale of what that was like, testifying against his mother in court. And on an even bigger scale, I have to tip my cap to this Andrew O'Brien, who's been through really hell and back. His mother was a prostitute and all kinds of things happened in his childhood. And he served in Iraq and he talks about ISIS and encountering ISIS in 2009 and how he thinks we should definitely, under no circumstances, have boots on the ground. He talks about coming back and wanting to kill himself and then helping other soldiers who have dealt with the same thing with a little project he calls the Wish Project, where he's spoken over 100 times and really reached out to try to help other fellow soldiers. And that is coming up in our third hour here in this version of America Tonight. So back to Ebola. And right now, the CDC keeps on saying it's a protocol breach, and they're trying to figure out how this Texas nurse caught Ebola. They're running through the different circumstances of how could this possibly have happened, because, okay, she was full on with the equipment, so the thought is something she took off, something she did, that kind of thing. She wore the mask, the gown, the shield, the gloves, the whole thing. So they're trying to figure out why and what happened. What was it that ultimately led to Nina Pham as getting this, you know, as getting the Ebola from helping to treat Thomas Duncan when he was at the hospital where she was stationed and she was helping him. She's the first person to have contracted, as you now know, I'm sure, the deadly virus in the United States. And Dr. Tom Frieden, the director of the CDC, who's like on auto dial now, is basically saying that it's still unknown how this infection happened. Only that they keep using these same words, breach in protocol. That it's a breach in protocol. I tell you, I think it's pretty frightening myself. We're supposed to believe that, hey, you know what, it's okay, it's contained, let's not panic. And then we hear that even more people might have symptoms of Ebola. And this girl, just 26 years old, so far she's doing okay fighting it. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
On Ebola, and if you're buying everything you're hearing about the disease, that's why I cannot wait till next hour. Back-to-back doctors, two interesting perspectives. One from right there in Liberia, somebody who spent a lot of time and has spent a lot of time in these quarantined areas, and then another, a doctor who's dealt with anthrax and compares the spores of that to Ebola and does not believe that it cannot be transmitted airborne-wise. It's not saying circulated air necessarily through airplanes, but talking about what I've talked about on this show, somebody sneezing, that kind of thing. Of course, naturally, that sprays out into the air, and that could certainly hit somebody. So Dr. Nass and Dr. Stone as well in hour number two. In the meantime, a couple of interesting things. One, just to finish this up about the Ebola thing, about 70 hospital folks treated Tom Duncan, because now this is the thing. If this 26-year-old comes down with Ebola, is tested positive, and is incubating right now and is in stable condition, well, what about all those other patients? She says she just was in close contact with one person and her dog. The dog has been quarantined, too, as well. But you got to think about it. They took his blood, you know, constantly. They wiped up after him. They wiped the saliva from his lips when he, of course, was rendered unconscious. And the kind of things that we're talking about is, well, how does this Ebola spread? So 70 people, they've determined, in some way were involved in caring for Tom Duncan after he was hospitalized. And you have the 26-year-old nurse who is now being treated. But then the other people at the hospital as well, they're watching them very closely for whatever that means. The CDC is saying that they might, you know, they got to broaden the pool of people getting close to being monitored because they don't know how the nurse was infected, that it was some kind of protocol thing, a breach in protocol, which I hate that description of it. But what does that mean for everybody else? Were they also touched by this, too? Now, they were actively monitoring 48 people who might have had contact with Duncan when he fell ill with the infection, but before he was put in isolation, and now they have all these people at the hospital that they're looking at, too. Typically, nurses, doctors, and the techs who have to care for someone who's contagious in any kind of an isolation situation would be treating other people as well and then going home to the families after decontaminating themselves. Now, the hospital is not answering. I mean, they're like locked down as far as answering specifics about the duties, whatever their duties are. But the pages and pages of medical records clearly show that, yes, you had people who wore face shields, double gowns, protective footwear, hazmat suits to avoid touching any of his bodily fluids. Because we go back to that whole thing again, the blood, vomit, that kind of stuff, and other things that could be affected. But they said, the CDC is saying, they are saying that there were chinks. That's the word, the other word they're using, chinks. In the protection at Texas Presbyterian. They have not identified them and are not saying, but they're investigating what that means. Wow. I think it's pretty scary to me. That means that they feel concerned about other people there. Trying not to make people panic, but, you know, body aches, headaches, all that kind of stuff. I think if anybody at that hospital has those symptoms like this 26-year-old, they're not going to think about it for very long. In fact, they're going to jump on it immediately, knowing what they know that has now happened to just not only Duncan, but obviously the stories coming out of West Africa and Spain and concern over other people. So we're on the Ebola path here on America Tonight, and we'll give you the latest as to what we know to be the latest anyway. This was a crazy story that I'm going to mix in here, kind of in this version of, and then there was this. So since 1946, you realize this? Our government has maintained fleets of mothballed ships, which they say can be readied and used in case of a crisis. I knew this because my mother used to work for the Navy, and there's a big shipyard in Philadelphia, and they've got, I think, one of those boats. So these boats that are pretty old include military ships that served in World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Desert Storm. And then they've even got some civilian merchant ships from other decades. Mostly the fleet is untouched and off limits. It's in the waters off of New Jersey, which is where my family's from. My mother working with the Navy, telling me about the ships. North Carolina, Mississippi, California, and Texas. One of those fleets, and I just read a story about this, thought, wow, I just had this conversation. One of the fleets off the coast of California in San Francisco, it's interesting because it's in the bay there, once counted as many as 340 ships. 340 ships, can you imagine? Now they got like 10 ships, and they're not used, but they're rusting away in that potent sun of California's. So what does that do? What does that do to the water, right? Now, because of that concern of the rust and the ship's just hanging out there. There's this, the Maritime Administration has mandated they're scrapping. So by 2017, they're saying they're all going to be gone. All going to be gone. And, you know, it's so wild about this. I mean, some of these ships are incredible when you see them, if you know what you're looking at. But you can't go on the ships. I mean, you can't go on. Even to get, because they're decaying ships, right? So some of them get scrapped, but to just even take a picture, you'd have to, like, have your boat kind of go up by it or know somebody in the Navy or where these ships are. But it's wild if you think about it, if you live in any of those areas that I'm talking about, and especially the mothballed fleet, which is about in San Francisco, because it's about a mile off the coast, and it's near a tiny town called Venetia. And it's really wild to see it. I've seen it from the air, actually. And they're like ghost ships. They're being described as ghost ships. So it might have been MSNBC or someone. Somebody just recently did a story on it, and I read it, and I thought, wow, I cannot believe I just had this conversation. But I didn't really put together the California ships, and this is might have been what really tripped the whole thing off, that what are we doing with these ships? Do they need to be... Do we need to do something with these ships? They need to be, you know, do they need to be scrapped because they're just decaying? And this is, they're so far gone, some of them, and have been around for a very, very long time. I think it'd be cool to be able to board them, frankly, or at least have, be able to go on board temporarily, take some shots of them and stuff, especially some of the areas where they're located. The 49ers, no doubt, located the end zone a few times. Was not the game of the week. We didn't have a winner for Nailed the Score this time around. Dallas beat Seattle 30-23, and nobody nailed that score. The 49ers throttled the Rams 31-17 for their third straight win. So it was the Rams, but it is another win for the 49ers, and those wins start to add up. So that was Monday Night Football, which wasn't much of a game to invest in. I think there were more people that are sports-wise that are starting to talk about baseball and are wondering more about what's going on. And maybe I'm wrong, because, you know, we're all football fans. And certainly here with Nail the Score, you know, we like football. But we like the great game of baseball as well. And we have a lot of people listening in Missouri. We have a lot of people cheering for some of the Missouri teams, because originally they're from there. I've met more people from Missouri who live in other places who have recollections of growing up rooting for St. Louis or rooting for the Royals. And I'll tell you, it's getting really, really interesting to see what's going to happen. The American League Championship Game 3 was postponed, though, between the Orioles and the Royals. All right, stay with us.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Yeah? you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100-foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Ah, Columbus Day. There seems to be lots of confusion over Columbus Day. I can remember when I was a kid growing up in New York, I just knew it was a big holiday, and I memorized the ships, and I was told over and over again, this is the man who found the New World, Christopher Columbus. Then I went to Spain and visited Christopher Columbus's house, and I saw the gold that he brought back to Isabella and Ferdinand, and now, whoa, these many years later, there is some confusion about Columbus himself and Columbus Day. So we have Gary Knight with us, and he's an author of Forgotten Brothers, and he has a different tale to tell us. Gary, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you, Kate.
So tell us about what we don't know about Christopher Columbus.
My book is called Forgotten Brothers. Forgotten Brothers refers to the two Spanish brothers from Spain who captained the Niña and the Pinta, but have been forgotten by history, even though it was them that assured Columbus's first voyage that would be a success.
So they just got shoved into the background. Why? Is that because Christopher Columbus was the chosen one, do you think? And because, you know, the king and queen made such a big fuss and he was on a mission? Or why do you think that is?
Well, because I was in politics for 26 years, and I learned the guy who controls the paper controls the debate, and the guy who controls the paper, is his version of events is what is remembered. And Columbus, unfortunately, was the only one who kept a journal.
The paper trail. And so, as you said, you know, you're a former Naval Academy grad, and as you said, also politics Capitol Hill staffer. And here's the cool part, and I can see what was maybe even the catalyst for you writing this book. You have, what, Spanish cousins who told you the story about the two brothers, right?
Yeah, any educated person in Spain or in South America even knows of the Pinzon brothers.
Yeah.
Not so here in the United States.
So the Pinzon brothers get their just due sort of in Spain and through family lore and all that kind of stuff. But Columbus is still the legend, and you know, there's still some iffy facts. When you were doing the research for your book, what were some of the cool things that you came across?
Well, the fact that the populace didn't trust Columbus. One, he was a foreigner. And Spaniards are very, very provincial. They don't trust anybody from a different province of Spain, nevertheless a foreigner like Columbus. And so they destroyed the two ships that the crown gave them to go on his voyage. They pulled the seacocks, so they sank at their moorings. Of course, that's not sexy enough, so in the book I have them being burned. But I have, I have a footnote. This is a true story, but I wrote it in fiction because when you make up dialogue that happened 500 years ago, you have to call it fiction. Bob Woodward from Woodward and Bernstein can get away with making up dialogue and calling it fact. So, but number one, the Pinzon brothers came forward after Columbus' ships were destroyed and offered their own ships and got a friend to donate the flagship, which Columbus renamed the Santa Maria. And, you know, around here where I live, they're all mariners, so they understand what that means. Sailors are very superstitious, and when you rename a ship, that means you're in for bad luck. And so all the sailors says, what's this guy doing? He renamed his ship. So that's number one thing I learned. The other thing is that Columbus and the older brother, Martin Pinzon, made a deal. Columbus would be the CEO of the operation, and Martin would be the COO in charge of the ships, the crews, the chandlery, and so forth. And they would split, after paying off the crown when they got back, they would split the riches that they gleaned. And, of course, later we learned that Columbus reneged on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was it. Okay, we're on land now. Forget about it.
Also, the fact that the day after he got back, Martin Pinzon died. It's very shocking.
No kidding. What do you think it would have been like as a lifelong sailor and a former Navy guy? What do you think that journey would have been like for the Pinzon brothers and for Columbus himself?
Well, on the way out from Spain to the New World, They enjoyed a beautiful, beautiful weather that is not common. For 3 and 4 solid weeks, they had beautiful weather. But on the way back, they hit 2 major storms, one of which meteorologists later said was an out-and-out hurricane. It would have been really hairy. The Niña, for example, was 65 feet long, only drafted 6 feet, which means you don't have a lot of ballast under the water to keep you from getting tossed to and fro. The Santa Maria was the biggest ship. It was only 100 feet long and about 100 tons. And those were small ships, really small. So it would be hairy, really hairy.
And of course...
The crew slept topside. They slept in the weather deck.
Wow. It was just so unimaginable. You know, how many people do you think they lose? How many people do you think they lost on those trips? They don't talk so much about that, but you would have to assume that some of the crew members would be lost at sea.
On that voyage, they didn't lose any. And
wow.
Later they lost many, right? But that first voyage, they didn't lose a man.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I was impressed upon in my research, and I bought books that were 150 years old because historians in the 1800s looked at the voyage a lot different than we learned in our history books. And one of the things I learned was that Columbus never captained a ship in his whole career, his whole life. He was a navigator. He was a brilliant navigator. He clearly was a good politician and a visionary, but he never captained a ship. The Pinzon brothers had captained ships for years. You remember the crown didn't think that Columbus, this foreigner, would be able to entice crewmen to man the ships, so they authorized the jails be emptied to man the ships. He didn't have to do that, because once the Pinzon brothers signed on, everybody said, if those guys are in it, I want in. I want in, because they know what they're doing, they're heavyweights. If, you know, they must know something, so if they're involved, I want in. So he didn't have to do that. But the crew didn't trust Columbus. One, he was a foreigner. Two, he changed the name. That's bad luck. Three, he kept publicly challenging Martin Pinzon, who had been a captain for over 20 years, about the direction to sail. Columbus wanted to sail due west. And Martin Pinzon said, look, I know that area down there, the Canary Islands. You have to sail south before you go west, and you catch the prevailing westerlies off the coast of Africa that blow you across. And later, an expert told Vicente Pinzon, look, if he'd have gone due west, you would have never found any land at all, because before you even saw the continent of North America, the great Gulf Stream would have dragged you further north, and you would have ended up in the middle of the North Atlantic, not having seen any land at all. And guess what Columbus's crew would have done to him then?
Yeah, it would have been good.
So Columbus kept saying to Martin Pinzon, we got to sail due west, due west. That's what Crown wanted. He says, no, Columbus. They said, go west to find Asia. They didn't say go due west, so we got to go due south. And when he kept challenging Martin in front of the crew, all his crewmen go, well, who is this guy to challenge Martin Pinzon, who we've sailed with for years? We trust this guy. Then 3 days after they left Spain, the rudder pin on the Pinta that Martin Pinzon was captain of broke. And some of the sources I read suggested that Columbus had a cohort on the Pinta that he convinced to do that, so that Martin Pinzon would have to go back to Spain, and therefore Columbus wouldn't be challenged by a guy of Martin Pinzon's credibility and stature and so forth, and he would only have to deal with Vicente. But Martin Pinzon was a good enough sailor that he jerry-rigged something to get to the Canaries, and then when they were in Canaries, they fixed the rudder problem. But that's how far Columbus went. He was an egoist. He was not a leader of men, and he was really arrogant and just looked down, talked down to the crew and so forth. So when they left the Canaries and they were still at sea 3 weeks after they left the Canary Islands and hadn't reached land, which is the time frame that Columbus promised all the crew that they'd be at land, that's when you heard grumblings and a possible mutiny and so forth. But we all learned in school that all three ships had mutinies. That wasn't true on the Nina and the Pinta, not at all, because those crewmen had sailed with the Pinzon brothers for years, and they trusted them and respected them, and they said, well, you know, we're not there yet, but it's gonna be all right. But on the Santa Maria, that crew already disgruntled because he changed the name, he's challenging Martin Pinzon's seamanship and knowledge of navigation and so forth. And now he promised us we'd be at land, and we haven't. So there was a lot of grumbling and possible mutinies and so forth. And Martin Pinzon just sailed close to the flagship and yelled on a bullhorn, hey, guys, anybody gives Columbus any trouble, my bosun mates, who are the toughest guys on the ship, and I will come aboard and hang the miscreants. So cut it out.
I love this story.
3 days later, they spotted land.
Wow.
Another thing was that the Crown said that the first person on any of these three ships that spotted land would get a pension, a free pension the rest of their life. 10,000 maravedis per year. Now, a seaman was paid $5 to $6 a day, $5 to $6 maravedis a day. So you can imagine $10,000 was a lot of money to those guys. And the guy in the crow's nest in the Pinta, which was always 2 or 3 miles ahead of the other two ships, spotted land, called out land ho. He should have gotten that reward. When they got back to Spain, Columbus claimed it for himself, said, I'm the guy who spotted land first. Again, that's what kind of person he was.
I say Tin Zone Day. That's what we should call it. Gary Knight, you are wonderful. I could listen to you talk throughout this whole show. Forgotten Brothers, you need to pick it up. I know I'm going to Amazon right now. He has reeled me in.
Hi, I'm John Rainey, Chief Financial Officer of United Airlines, and I'm honored to be the National Chair for the 2015 March for Babies campaign for the March of Dimes. United is a proud supporter of the March of Dimes mission to improve the health of babies and fight premature birth. We're helping the March of Dimes fund breakthroughs in research and community programs that help more mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.org.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite intestinal freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Christopher Columbus argument, which I think now, each and every year, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I really found Gary Knight fascinating, somebody who spent such a big chunk of his life in the Navy and, frankly, in politics, thus the snarky comments about politics, but highly entertaining the hours he put into the research for that book on the two brothers versus Columbus. Harmony chimes in. She sent me this. During four separate trips that started with the one in 1492, Columbus landed on various Caribbean islands that are now the Bahamas. I went to the Bahamas and was told the same thing, as well as the island later called Hispaniola. Remember that? He also explored the Central and South American coast, yes. He didn't reach North America, of course, was already inhabited by Native Americans, and he never thought he had found a new continent. You also remember that it is believed that Leif Erikson reached Canada perhaps 500 years before Columbus was born. And there are some who believe that the Phoenician sailors crossed the Atlantic much earlier than that, which is true. I certainly have heard that as well, about the Phoenician sailors and Leif Erikson. Talk to any of the Nordic folks and they'll tell you it's Leif Erikson, not Christopher Columbus. But it's true that in school we've been taught that when Columbus set sail in 1492 to find a new route to the East Indies, it was feared he would fall off the edge of the earth. Why? And we all know the answer. I hear you screaming it. Why did he think that? Because people thought the earth was flat, that it was flat. And if he went too far, that's exactly what would happen. He would never be seen again because he would be gobbled up as he fell off the earth, as he fell off the planet. Isn't it interesting? Now where we are in talking about Christopher Columbus, history, you got to love it. How will history remember this outbreak of Ebola? Let's hope. While I'm an optimist, let's hope that this gets contained in West Africa. And while there are going to be more, I think, that come over, and I think there are going to be other things that bubble up in the United States, we really hope and pray it's not any kind of a pandemic, and I'm not suggesting that. But when you hear that there are so many things at work here, all those variables that I'm talking about, that's what's so scary. What's really terrific is this Dr. Kent Brantley is amazing. He's like a superhero, this guy. He just wants to help anyone else, and of course that's his nature. But Nina Pham, who the 26-year-old, got the blood transfusion from Dr. Kent Brantley because he had Ebola and is a survivor. And so the idea is that antibodies in his blood would help her fight the disease. And she, as we talked about earlier in the show, caught the Ebola virus when she was treating Thomas Duncan in Dallas. And now the scary thing is 70 other people, they're really monitoring them. Anybody who came in close contact with him at the hospital for fear that there was some kind of a breach and perhaps it would affect others, not just her, that there would be others who could have been affected. Her condition, I just checked, this is from Dallas, from the hospital, is described as clinically stable. So I guess you could consider that good news. The Kent Brantley thing certainly is the fact that he donated that blood because he survived getting a dose of that experimental serum, ZMapp, and of course at Emory University is round the clock in Atlanta. And he donated blood to another doctor, Dr. Sakra, who also got Ebola during his work in West Africa and survived the disease as well. So the fact that the antibodies were at work. Now, in the case of Tom Duncan, even there, Dr. Brantley offered his blood, but the blood types didn't match, so they weren't able to do that. Luckily, in this nurse's case, they were able to do it, and he did. So the hope is it's going to be the same results, that she's going to be able to pull through this, and now it's just a waiting game. It's that going through that period and seeing her come out on the other side is certainly what her family and everybody else around is hoping for. And the hospital is turned upside down, I think, at this point, whether they're letting that feeling seep out there or not. But there has to be some of that because you know that you have 70 other people who were in close contact in some way in treating Tom Duncan through the chain. And will there be more people, you know, that come down with Ebola, or do they dodge the rest of them? And that's all that whole monitoring thing. So you wonder how many people do the CDC employ that they're on the ground in Dallas, which is now ground zero, really, in the United States, keeping an eye on various people? Because are they through the 21-day incubation period almost, the family members? And for the hospital, now they're just kicking this into the beginning of it. That means more time spent with the people in the hospital, and what can they do but try to connect the dots, test people, monitor them for aches and fevers and the signs of what Ebola is and what it turns into. The next hour, we'll talk with two doctors about that. One who, as I've already mentioned a couple times, was there in Liberia, talked to some of the survivors, saw what it was like for the families, and says that part of the problem in Liberia is the fact that people are afraid. So they're hiding sick people. They're not coming forward. They're dodging checkpoints. They're running away. And this is a problem because they may have Ebola, and that's why it's spreading, because they've come in contact with somebody that they're hiding, or they have some of the early symptoms, but they've taken off and they're dodging the things that they're supposed to do, like the curfew and the checkpoints and, you know, all those kinds of things. They're not happening. I want to leave you with a couple of other quick, I'm going to call them quick shots, some quick thoughts off of Ebola. On to Ferguson and the protests. And somehow that, you know, as things go, that kind of switched over to the back burner, but not to the people who are not going to let this, you know, not going to let this die. They're protesting. They held a surprise rally at a plaza, in an upscale plaza in a shopping mall. This is on the heels of having a huge, very peaceful demonstration on Sunday, and now at this mall, they held a little bit of a rally, walked through the mall, and said, you know, we want respect, and went up and down the escalators. Didn't do anything to anybody, but they were yelling things out and walking up and down the steps, and it was unusual to see that. So I think it might have taken some people back, but I mean, these people are on a mission to say, we're not going to forget, and we want answers as to what's happening on the police side of it. And on the police side of it, nothing has happened yet at this point with the whole grand jury anyway, because there hasn't been any decision made on moving forward with the evidence or not. And, you know, this is part of what we said was going to play out into October. It's certainly not looking that way, but I don't want to predict what a grand jury is going to do. And the police department itself, it's typical procedure, normal procedure, to go with sitting somebody while an investigation takes place, and then you make a decision on what happened in that in that shooting, in that situation. So Michael Brown's death, you have to think about it. You got to go back to when was that, and you got to go all the way back to the beginning, really, of August, and what has happened since then is the great push in different directions to try to solve some of the problems that have bubbled up as a result of that in Ferguson, Missouri. Any thoughts on the show? You can always shoot them to me at americatonight.net. Send them to me. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in, my friends, just like that.
Experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.